World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm in one of those moods today. Is it okay if I tell you that? I'm in one of those moods. And a little bit in the chat before we got going here. I've only been down here a couple minutes. Thanks to Spencer and getting it all up and ready to go and everything. When I just walked down there, I get up early in the morning, do a lot of research and try to find a direction where the Lord would want me to go. And, sometimes I always think the shows are good because I know the effort and energy and the Holy Spirit that goes into it. But sometimes, it's not your cup of tea. You want to talk about this, or you want to talk about this, and Coach, get off of that, because it doesn't really interest you. But understand that, we're getting a wider and wider audience with a greater variety of what people want to hear. And so I just try to divvy it up as it comes to me. And it's funny, I just looked down here today in front of my computer for at least three years. This has been right in front of my computer. Horse paste. You know this is back in the news, don't you, folks? Horse paste, the ivermectin horse paste. Back in the news. You know what the news says? This stuff works. I told you so. Where's that song? I told you so. I told you so. And one of the things that really I struggle with, if it's fair to say that you struggle with it, I don't know if I do. And I said a little bit of this before we got going on the show. I'm an optimist. I think we are so winning. I see it everywhere we look. And can I tell you the truth? The most pessimistic people that I run into are Christians. And I think they're not optimistic because their interpretation of end time prophecy. Now, I'm not a theologian. I'm not the son of one. I'm not the wife of a husband of one. I just read and I can think and I can look around, and I know that since when would it be? I got saved in 19. It's in the front of my Bible here. Hang on, January 28th. hang on, wrote it in my Bible. January 28th, my wife's birthday, 1987. January 28th, 1987. I entered into Christendom. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Christendom? When I entered into Christendom in 1987, I had no idea. I'd been raised Catholic. I'd been in church my whole life, except for probably the 4 years. Maybe there may have been a 6-year segment in there when maybe I wasn't. Michelle and I, we got married in a Catholic church, but we didn't go to Mass. We didn't. And then we both had a spiritual awakening about the same time, 1987. And all of a sudden I realized that I was well educated, had a good job, wonderful wife, everything was good, and I knew nothing about Christianity. Would anybody raise their hand and say, Coach, you're talking about me? You're talking about me. I was raised in church my whole life, and I didn't know nothing about nothing when it came to Christianity. Couldn't quote a Bible verse. Didn't know the books of the Bible. Couldn't eschatology, and I didn't know any of those big words. And so I started over. I was born in 1952. I became a Christian in 1987. I don't know if you guys get this or not. That's 34 years. I started my life over at the 34 year mark. I received Christ. Something happened to me. I jokingly say to everybody, when I met Jesus, it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. I walked in one guy and I walked out another. I can't explain it. that had happened to me. So the first 34 years of my life, thank God for my mom and dad. My mother was a spiritual mutt. She changed churches more than underwear. She was a Protestant. My dad was a Catholic, but he didn't really know what it means to be a Catholic. He took us to church. He didn't know. He had no idea what Christianity was. He didn't have any idea. And so I grew up in a home with mom, who was a spiritual mutt, and dad, who was a so-called Catholic, didn't even know what it meant. And that was me till 1987, when I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, everything in my life changed slowly, gradually, but it happened to me. It did. I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. And then I realized that although my first 35 years of my life, they weren't wasted, but they were wasted, really, spiritually, they were wasted. And the same was true with Michelle. She was raised in a Catholic home, not a strong Catholic home, but a Catholic home. Went to Catholic school in her younger years. I didn't do that. So here were these two little Catholic kids that come together and get married. I was 27. Michelle was, she was just a puppy. She was, I think she's 23, I think. And we got married. We started a life together. We got married in the Catholic church in the cathedral downtown Columbus. Big wedding. Cost her daddy a lot of money. So we got married and we went off and did whatever you do when you get married. No spiritual. We didn't go to church. We never prayed together. We never talked about any of it. And in 1987, January 28th, 1987, an atomic bomb dropped into my heart. So there I was at, 34, 35 years old. Excuse me. I'm sorry for the clearing my throat so much. And a whole new world opened up to me. The kingdom of God's within you, folks. It's not someplace we're going. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's in Romans, Corinthians. Huh? That's the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God isn't someplace we're going. It's something that comes. It comes to us. And when the kingdom of God comes inside of you, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you are already connected to the kingdom of God. You're already connected to heaven. You have access to the throne. You have direct communication through the Holy Spirit of God. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a priest. You don't need a church. Although you ought to have all of those because of the fellowship. But if it's just me on a desert island, I could have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I didn't have to go to Mass, do the sign of the cross. I didn't have to do any of that stuff. And so my eyes popped open. Got sued by the ACLU, went through all that mess. Drove me deeper into the Word, deeper into Christianity. But I got to tell you something. When I first got saved, I started hearing about, look, I'm not trying to get upset anybody. I started hearing about this dispensationalism. I didn't know what it was, but that's what they told me it was. And they began to talk about the end of days. The end of days. Well, I know this. I'm smart enough to figure this out. That the end of days for me is going to be when I die. That'd be the end of days. What happens beyond that, I really don't know. I really don't know. Is there a rapture? Are people really going to be raptured? I guess the Bible says that. But is that the central focus of our faith? While we're here, is the central focus of our faith supposed to be the rapture? Getting out of here? It never sat well with me. Never did. And as a result of much of what we see in modern Christianity, the ineffectiveness of the church, are you looking at me? During the most critical time in American history, COVID, the church shut down. Would anybody want to disagree with that? the most critical time, a time, in fact, what we're going to find out now, that literally hundreds of millions of people died, the church shut down. I don't know how long we're going to be around here, but when they're going to look back on, they're going to look back on that period of what COVID-19, so that's when it started in 2019. They're going to look at this five-year period that we've been under, and they're going to say, holy smokes, what were those people thinking? But see, I say a lot of it was the mentality. I don't care what your theology is. I don't even know what mine is. The theology of most of the American church, the evangelifish church, is the end of days. That's the focus. Jesus Christ told us to occupy till he comes. Work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. You would have to agree with me, would you not, that the Christian church, for the most part, is inbred and ingrown, and they do not care about going into all the world and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In fact, when they hear that scripture, go ye into all the world, they think they're supposed to go to Haiti.
Amen.
They think they're supposed to go to China. No, no, no. All the world begins right outside your door. It begins at your high school. It begins at your city council. It's everywhere you go. And we've made Christianity about the church and the end of days. Would anybody, anybody want to argue that? Not all denominations. And so I run into trouble. I don't run into trouble. That's not what I mean. I think we're winning. Everywhere I look, I think we're winning. But we can't see it. We can't see it because, number one, the theologians tell us we're losing. That's okay if you get mad. Number two, the media wants to do everything they can. The media is controlled by Lucifer and his minions, and they want to do everything they can to discourage you and get you off target and make you think that they're winning. They are not winning. They are so losing. Pull up Psalm 11. Number four. Thank you for giving me this 12 minutes so far, right? Psalm 11. Square this with where we are today. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. Who does, Betty? The wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily, nobody knows they're doing it, shoot at the upright in heart. Now, time out a minute. They ain't shooting at just everybody. They're shooting at the upright. That's who they're shooting at. And the upright in heart, we're acting like we're pincushions. We're taking it. Number three, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, hang on. That's not, oh, well, what are we going to do? No, no. If the foundations be destroyed, the righteous better get together and get organized. Do something. Why? Because the Lord's in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. God's sitting up there looking at us, saying, what's going on? Why? Because the Lord trieth the righteous. Do you ever think some of the stuff going on in your life, the Lord sent your way? Because the Lord trieth the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. There's the old, that goes out the window, the old God loves everybody thing, huh? Huh? Yeah. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. Betty, I'm sorry. Yeah, I see you. You're at the top of the screen on my screen, Betty. Who's he going to rain it on, Betty? Who's he going to rain it on?
The wicked.
On the wicked. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. And his countenance is what holds up the upright. Is that it? Is that song? Is that the last one? Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't one word of defeat in that psalm. Not one word of defeat. And yet modern Christianity is doom and gloom. Oh me, oh my, what are we going to do? Come quickly, Jesus. By the way, quickly and soon are not the same. Quickly engenders the thought of like somebody on a basketball court. Quick. Lord, come quickly doesn't necessarily mean soon. Quickly and soon aren't the same, folks. Come quickly, Lord, doesn't mean soon. I love English language. And so we've been taught in our churches to just sit back and let them have us. Because why? Well, coach, can't you read? Huh? End times are here. We're in the middle of the end times, coach. We're gonna be taken out here. Maybe we are. Jesus told us to occupy till I come. Spencer, look that word up. Occupy. To take possession. The person who first occupies land which has no owner has the right of property. To occupy means to keep in possession, to possess, to hold, or keep for use. The tenant occupies a farm under a lease of 21 years. A lodger occupies an apartment. A man occupies the chair in which he sits. Occupy means to take up, to possess, to cover, or fill. The camp occupies 5 acres of ground. Air may be so rarefied as to occupy a vast space. The writing occupies a sheet of paper, or it occupies 5 lines only. Occupy means to employ or to use. To employ, to busy one's self. Every man should be occupied or should occupy himself in some useful labor. To follow as a business, to use, to expand. Occupy, to follow business, to negotiate. Occupy till I come. Are we? Occupy what? Padded pew in your church? Occupy that? Is that what you're supposed to do? All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Do what? Teach them. Who's them? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Go teach them what I commanded you. And they told you in your schools, there's a separation between the church and state. Can't teach Christianity to your kids. Can't teach Christianity in government. And I said this the other day, name one politician in Washington, D.C. that you hear regularly use the name of Jesus. Just one. You ever heard Barack Obama mention Jesus? Huh? Donald Trump doesn't even use that name. Something about that name is power, power, wonder-working power, blood of the... Now, folks, who's supposed to exercise that power? Us. Occupy is an active verb. Sometimes you have to occupy your territory with guns. Occupy. Janine says, now read Psalm 40, 7 through 11. Pull that up there. Psalm 40, 7 through 11. Occupy. And said, I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do the will of my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, you know. I've not hid the righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and the truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let the loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. How can we call ourselves Christians and not earnestly contend for the faith or earnestly contend for truth? How can we? No wonder we're losing. No wonder it looks like we're losing. We're not contending. They're locking up the guys who are. You notice that? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I got 1,000 things I want to show you here. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Did you see this? Pull up number 7. Huh? Did you see it? Pfizer COVID vaccine integrates the human genome. I'm not going to read this. If you've taken the genetic sequence found in Pfizer's modified mRNA slow bioweapon vaccine integrates into the human genome, and now all future vaccinated generations are genetically modified as well as their offspring.
Boom.
Hey, Vinny, the church is closed. The churches told people to take the vaccine. You understand this, don't you? Mm-hmm. These Pfizer genetic sequences were passed on forever, and not just the vaccinated, but also in the offspring of unvaccinated individuals, procreating with those that have been genetically modified. So here it is, as hard as makes you want to, I'm sorry to tell you this. Your child, your 18-year-old child, who did not take the vaccine, is going to fall in love and marry some guy at college who did take the vaccine, and the genome's been modified. Vinny, that's a boom. And now for the first time ever, it's been irrefutably proven that DNA contamination with vaccinations is not some accidental contamination or benign artifact, but rather a ticking time bomb that will permanently alter the genetic fabric of humanity.
Boom.
We have evidence that the SV40 promoter sequences that were deliberately added to Pfizer's deadly vaccine are aggressively replicating inside the very tumors that are causing, thus accelerating the metastasization of VAIDS-induced turbo cancers. You get what I just said? It's been manipulating your DNA, and it's causing these turbo cancers, and people are dying by the millions. Tide's turning, oh baby, huh? Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Let me find this here. Where is it? Pull up number 8. I don't know how I got over this. No. Number 8. Chief Attorney of the FDA admit. Play this, Bobby Kennedy. Hey folks, horse paste. Throw this up at Spencer so they can all see it. They laughed and 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 made fun of you. Horse paste, horse paste. Are you taking that horse paste? You taking that horse paste? Let me tell you something. Are you ready? Without letting the cat out of the bag here, I know someone who had to go have some surgery. And yesterday, actually. And 4 days ago, this person tested positive for COVID. And if he goes into the hospital with testing positive for COVID, they ain't going to do a surgery. So he comes to me. What do I do? I said, take some of this. Start rubbing it on your feet. Here's some hydroxychloroquine. Here's some ivermectin. Yesterday he went in and had surgery. No sign of COVID. Horse paste. They made fun of you. Remember? Laughed at you. What Bobby Kennedy have to say? Go ahead.
yesterday, the chief attorney for FDA admitted that there was no reason. He admitted because he lost the case in court against a doctor, but there was no reason to discourage people from taking ivermectin. Ivermectin was a very, very devastating cure for COVID. It literally obliterated COVID. And, you know, by depriving people of ivermectin.
Do you understand what he just said? It's now scientifically proven that ivermectin, horse paste, destroys COVID. Go ahead.
Ivermectin, many people, millions of people around the globe died. And they didn't need to. There were cures for COVID from day one, and very effective cures. Right. But they didn't want that. They wanted the vaccine only. And there was a rule. There's a rule, you know, a little known federal rule that they were all aware of, which said that you cannot issue an emergency use authorization for a vaccine if there is an existing remedy that has already been approved for any use. Oh, if they admitted that hydroxychloroquine or famotidine or ivermectin or any of the 25 existing therapeutic drugs that were very effective against COVID, if they admitted that any of them were effective, the whole vaccine project would have fallen apart. They couldn't have done it. And so they decided that they were going to pretend that there was no cure except for the vaccine.
Hey, Vinny, what would you say to that?
Boom.
Yeah. What'd they tell you? Don't take the vaccine. Don't take take the vaccine. Don't use ivermectin. Don't use don't use that horse paste. Oh, no. Don't do that. Hey, friends, we're winning. The truth is coming out. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we going to do? What is the job of the church of Christianity when we see this blatant evil murdering people, changing their genome?
Hang them high.
Is anybody going to do that other than the church? Is anybody going to push that? But see, the church isn't going to do that because they think everybody's God's child. Psalm 11, pull Psalm 11 back up for me if you can, Spencer, just so y'all don't think I'm too nuts. Psalm 11, and the Lord I put my trust, how saving us flee as a bird, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart, and if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Or what the heck are we going to do about it? But see, we won't do anything about it because the majority of Christians think it's a sign of the end times and they're not going to push back. Somebody give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. It's like
amen.
It's like we don't think we can win. We've convinced ourselves we can't win, so we will not engage. And in fact, we get in our church and they teach us about the prosperity gospel and get more and get more and get more and get more and name it and claim it and get more and get more. However, you're about to leave. You're about to leave. Does anybody see that as moronic? Holding two mutually accepted beliefs at the same time. God wants us to be prosperous and have a lot of stuff. Oh, and by the way, you're getting ready to leave. I don't even know what to say. I got so much more. Chad's going to say, keep on going, keep on going. Can I show you a couple things here real quick, how we're winning? Go to number two. Go to number two. Carrie Lake is going to be director of Voice of America. Do you guys know what Voice of America is? Huh? Do you know that hundreds of millions of people around the world get their news from Voice of America? And who do you suppose has been sitting at the controls of Voice of America? Well, I promise you, some Luciferian, atheistic person. And Carrie Lake now is the head of Voice of America. We're winning. Put this in the chat. K Carrie Lake, going to clean that mess up. She's got to go get public broadcasting next. We've got to go get them next. Let me give you another one. Point number three. And we'll give you some evidence, and then you can then you can go sit and wait to be taken out of here. CNN. CNN admits the majority of Americans approve of what Trump's doing. CNN. How much have they been lying to us, right? Lying to us. Go ahead, play this. It's very short. New poll, majority approves of Trump handling the transition. A majority. Go ahead. They don't even know how
president,
to say it. They
don't even know what. Majority of Americans, 54%, say they expect him to do a good job as president. And we asked specifically, do you have confidence in all of these areas about how Trump will perform and his ability to handle it? And once again, as we saw throughout the campaign, the economy is issue number one of his strength. 65%, two-thirds of Americans in this poll say they have some or a lot of confidence in Trump's ability to manage and handle the economy as president. And you see Russia, Ukraine followed there, then immigration. And his leadership skills,
Don't miss this. This is why we're winning. Because CNN, for the last 4 years, has been telling you just the opposite, right? All these things were a minority and, these are crazy people. No. It's the majority. It's the majority, people. It's the majority. We are the majority, people. And it's only 65% because the other people are so brainwashed that they don't understand, or they would be, we're so winning. Keep on going.
Power for whether that'll be responsibly not a bit lower. But again, all of this is majority support. So that is where things stand right now. As president, a majority of Americans.
Huh? What's going on here? That can't be, can it? That can't be. Okay, I got to show you one more thing and then I'm going to open it. I should open it up already. Put up number nine, because we talked about this yesterday. Number nine. Public schools, where $1.2 trillion buys mediocrity. $1.2 trillion in a system designed to destroy your child's faith. Atheistic education paid for by you, $1.2 trillion a year. Scroll down a little bit. Just some highlights. I'm not going to take you through all this stuff. Look at this. January 2006, John Stossel opened document, Stupid in America, was aired. Investigated ABC showed was billed as a nasty title for the program. They hated it because the media wants you dumbed down. Scroll down. Keep going. Okay. So trends in international mathematics and study found an assessment administered 654th and 8th graders and studied these kids. And test results showed that, you can read on down through it, huh? They're stupid. They're dumber than can be. Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars designed to dumb you down and promote the governments. The NAP, and go back up right there. In 2020, yeah, there you go, disclosed that just 13% of eighth graders met proficiency standards. One point whatever trillion, and only 1 out of 10 eighth graders could meet standards. Now, hang on. What would be the standards on the test that they'd have to meet, I wonder? 29% of the nation's eighth graders are proficient in reading. And 1 out of every 4 is proficient in math. Eighth grade. How difficult is eighth grade math? I bet they all know about transgenderism, though. Huh? I bet they know about diversity and tolerance, right? So look at this. Sadly, many parents are fooled by their kids' lack of knowledge as teachers frequently resort to grade inflation. In fact, a recent study from the Equitable Grading Project, 33,000 middle school and high schools found that almost 60% of students' grades did not match their knowledge. They were getting A's, but they didn't know anything. Oh my goodness. $1.2 trillion. The total breaks down. Are you ready for this? $9,000 for every household in the United States, 4% of the gross domestic product, and 14% of government expenditures goes to education to teach your children lies. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Somebody come on in. Now, that's enough to chew on, isn't it? Isn't that enough to chew on? Do you think the name of Jesus is ever mentioned to one of those children in the public schools that you're paying for? The absolute most famous person in the history of Western civilization, and they don't even mention his name. The kids don't even know who he is. Celebrating Transgender Month, Pride Month, any type of deviancy. Why? Because the devil has seized control of the educational system because the church said, we don't want to. And so the church said, we don't want to be involved with it. So therefore, golly, it's end times. Everything's getting worse. It's end times. Look, have you looked around? I wrote a commentary today. I don't know if I'm going to get to it or not. Vinny, come on in.
Well, going back to Psalm 11, right? The foundations. They're trying to destroy our foundation so we have nothing to stand on.
Vinny, did you read my commentary? I'm going to get to it here in a minute. I'm going to Proverbs. Is that Adam? Come on in. Proverbs 18.
Morning, Coach. Yeah, it just makes me wonder a little bit with all the so-called Christians that got vaccinated if they're actually going to be able to get access to heaven. Access to the Lord.
Hey, their DNA's been altered, right? Hey, what about the guys who stood in the pulpit and told them to do it?
Yep. Yep. Amen.
Huh? Because what? Hey, are you looking at me? It's about the seed. It's about the seed. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And the church told people to take the seed of the serpent.
Amen, Coach.
Huh? You don't hear this anywhere, do you?
Well, not only told them, Dave, they set it up. They facilitated it.
They facilitated it. They paid for it. They pressured you into doing it. Mark Trump.
Would the people before the times of Noah been redeemable if they hadn't taken on the Nephilim blood?
There you go, brother. Oh, Mark, you always come from a good direction, huh? Why did they have to have the flood? Because the blood had been tainted. Blood tainted today? Spencer, pull up my commentary real quickly because I'm going to connect a dot that nobody's connecting. I'm going to read it really fast, okay? Share this with your friends. Sayonara, Obama. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. The real story of the 2024 election is not about Joe Biden or Harris. It's not about abortion, transgender, DIA, wokeness, or the criminalization of Donald Trump. No, my friends, it's not about any of that. The big story is the overthrowing of the man behind the curtain and the fundamental transformation of America. It's not about healthcare, COVID, Ukraine, Russia, or the weaponization of the FBI. It's not about Alvin Bragg or Tawny Willis or Merrick Garland or Whoopi Goldberg. It's not about Hollywood, child trafficking, P. Diddy, Epstein Island, Dr. Fauci, or Bill Gates. Now, don't get me wrong. It is about all those things. But at the center of the circle is the expose of the man behind the curtain, who is Barack Hussein Obama. With the exception of the years 2017, 2020, when outsider Donald Trump somehow, against all odds, won the White House, Barack Obama and his cabal of anti-American government mafiosos has been in control of American politics. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, Coach, I never looked at it this way.
Amen. Amen.
That, my friends, is 12 of the last 16 years the White House has been under the control of Barry Sotero and his anti-American demonic minions. Listen for yourself. Here, click on that real quickly. He kept his word. Listen to what he said.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
He told us.
In
fundamentally transforming. Okay, go back to the commentary. His words, not mine. As a former football coach, I understand the need to teach our players the fundamentals of how to play the game. Webster's defined fundamentals as pertaining to the foundation or basis. Serving for the foundation, hence essential, important, as a fundamental truth or principle. The Bible tells us at Psalm 11, 2, that if the foundations be destroyed, we just read that, what can the righteous do? For nearly two decades, Obama and his unchristian brethren jackhammered the Christian foundation of this once Christian nation as he kept to his promise of fundamentally changing America. He did that, right, folks? Hope and change was simply a synonym for uproot and destroy all that made America great. With the election of Kamala Harris, Barack Obama has been booted. I'm sorry, with the unelection, Obama's been booted. Not to the back of the bus, not from controlling the bus. He's no longer sitting in the driver's seat of the American way of life. Vinny, that'd be a good boom. Don't you get it? Can you make the connection? Why else was there no primary in the Democratic Party when it became obvious to everyone that the man in the White House was cognitively not at home? Come on now, think with me. Remember when Joe Biden was running for election in 2016? He was doing horribly in the primaries. But lo and behold, after he won his only primary in South Carolina, it was Obama who declared Biden the nominee. Read it for yourself. Don't do that now. Obama knew that the only way he could remain in power was to elevate Dementia Joe to the office. Joe was the mannequin. Obama was the puppet master. And the fundamental transformation of America continued under the control of the man behind the curtain. Somebody go, wow. Somebody do that for me. Wow.
Wow.
Huh? How else can you explain it?
Wow.
Ask yourself this. Does America 2024 look anything like America 2008?
No.
Nothing. Doesn't look anything like it, does it? Or is it just me? Or is the Biden administration staffed with holdovers from the original Obama administration? That's why the Luciferian-controlled media went all in for the destruction of Donald Trump. They looked the other way as the 2020 election was stolen. They locked up anyone who questioned it, even going as far as to shut down the American way of life through a created pandemic to assure that Obama and his demonic horde remained in control. When it became obvious that Dementia Joe was not going to be reelected, Obama and his minions replaced him with Biden's goofy DEI VP, whom they were sure they could control. No open primary, no Democratic election for the Democratic candidate. I'm sorry, get that out of there. No, my friends, they needed someone in the Oval Office that Obama could control. Hence, Kamala. It was the most undemocratic thing that has ever that those who are constantly chanting democracy could do. But they still don't care. They're all liars. Their father was the originator of lies, and they still serve him today. I tried to warn people in 2008 that Obama was about as Christian as a poached egg. Sadly, many Christians were not even able to identify what a Christian fraud that Obama truly was. Has anyone ever heard Obama mention the name of Jesus? But God, in his undeserved mercy, has once again saved America from the clutches of the evil one. The question is, what will the Christians in America do to return America to our foundational truths? Because if the foundations be destroyed, we could start by making our churches Christian again. For the entire 21st century, the Christian foundation of this nation has been under assault. Look around. Our nation is tearing down statues of our national heroes and erecting statues to the degenerate. Look at this. Put that up. Click on that, Spence. Look at this. Group unveils Satan statue design for Oklahoma State Capitol. They're putting up statues of Satan. Who's doing that? Obama and his crew. Going back. I'm about done. The ball's in our court. Almighty God has given once Christian America a reprieve. What are we going to do with the opportunity? It's time to fundamentally reform America now that Obama's communist hands are off the levers of power. Sayonara, Obama, and the horse you rode in on.
Boom.
Roger.
Boom.
Come on in, Roger.
Oh, Dave. You're just too close-minded.
Praise the Lord.
You know, things are moving on, and you know, we're in the 21st century now, and you got to broaden how you think a little bit. You know, you're too old school. You know, we know the changing America, you know, the front, you know, the whole situation in America. You got to read some other stuff, man.
Yeah, but Roger, look, it's all waste anyway because we're going to be out of here soon.
Yeah, but you got to broaden your thinking a little bit. This, you know, come on, man. You know,
you love everybody. God loves everybody. Coach, you need to love everybody.
Dude. I think if we push this far enough, men can have babies. Now, come on.
Come on. That's right. Who are you to judge, Roger? Come on. Do folks, you see what they've done? See what they've done to us? Somebody come on in and save me here. This is golden, folks. This is golden. Because why? Okay, one more. One more, number seven. I think I showed it, but I want to show it again so you get it. Pull up number seven. That's not what I wanted. It says, yep, that is first ever definite proof that Pfizer's COVID vaccine integrates in the human genome. And the cure for it is ivermectin, by the way. Ivermectin cures cancer. Sorry. Sorry to bring you the good news. Ivermectin cures cancer. Because studies are finding out more and more and more that cancer is a fungus, a viral fungus. Did you know that? They know this. Cancer has been killing people for how long, and we still don't know what causes it? You don't believe that, do you? Dave Allison. It's a parasite. That's right, Marine. It's a parasite.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks for the teaching. You know, as you were talking about, again, about the satanic exposure, as you know, in Columbus, how many Christian churches are there in Columbus? Like more than two, right?
Yeah.
Anyhow, but they have their LGBTQ parade every year, right?
Yeah. Because God loves everybody. Who are we to judge?
So in my humble opinion, just like when people are confronted with pictures of abortion, it brings it front and center what they're dealing with, right? They don't want to see that. The church doesn't want to see that. They just want to stay there in their little comfort zone. We're waiting for the rapture, you know, and it's going to happen anyways. This was meant to be. This is God's plan, blah, blah, blah. So in my opinion, the more we see Baphomet, the more we're confronted with this is a battle between good and evil. So in my opinion, I'm not as scared of that statue one bit. All it does is bring front and center, this is a battle we're against.
You know, mask it off. That's right.
Woody Hayes wouldn't say that state up north, right? But in reality, there was a state called Michigan, and he just didn't want to confront himself with it, right? So I think, Coach, the point I'm making is we need to see, the church needs to see this and be confronted with it and recognize it.
Amen. Dave, here's how crazy we are. Folks, play, I'll get right with you, RL. Hang on a second. Play number 11. Now, I this is a skit, okay? This is not real, but it's more real than we realize, okay? Spelling bee. Go ahead.
Your word is woman.
Well, woman, can I have the country of origin, please?
I don't, probably England or Germany or something. Woman.
Can I have the definition, please?
Why don't you ask Judge One that question?
Can I have the definition of woman, please?
No.
Why not? I'm allowed to ask for definitions, right?
The thing is, a woman is
What she's trying to say is that each person gets to define for themselves what a woman is.
So can you define it?
No. Your word is woman.
Wow, huh? See, it's more real than what we understand. The assassination of common sense. RL, did you want to come in? You're not up there anymore, brother. Come on in if you want to. Floor's open, buddy. Anybody? It's sick, Beth. It's sick. It's sick. The church is permitting these people to rule over us. They are. You're paying for it. Trillions of dollars. You're paying for stupidity like that. Don't worry, though.
Boom.
Jesus is coming.
Brett, hey, Coach, come on in.
Just asking. Can you put that in the chat?
Put it in the chat. Huh? Even though that's fake, Coach. That's more real than we understand, isn't it, friends? It's more real than what we understand. My phone's blowing up here. Come on, man. Come on. Hey, look, folks. I'm just laying it out there. I'm just laying it out. It's everywhere. It's everywhere you look. And we're winning. And what do we know? COVID was man-made, and it killed people. COVID was man-made, and they knew what the cure was, and they kept it from you. And the church supported it. Because the church trusted Luciferian government. Why? Because Luciferian government said to the church, you're not welcome here. You're not welcome here. There's a separation between us. We get to make all the rules. We government, we get to make all the rules. Separation between church and state now. We get to make all the rules and you have to follow them. What? Yeah. We get to make all the rules and you have to follow them. And by the way, I talked to, this was amazing. I talked to, my son had knee surgery yesterday. And I talking to the nurse. She's a sweet little thing. I don't know if she's a Christian or it doesn't matter. I said, listen, let me ask you something. Did you guys know that 3 years ago that COVID stuff was fake, wearing the masks? I said, did you guys know that? She didn't want us to answer. She really didn't want to answer. And she says, Oh yeah. We smelled that out early. Yeah. And I said, but she said, you know, the protocol was this, and you know, you work here, you have to follow the protocol. Protocol. And then she said this as a parting shot. She said there was a joke amongst us. When somebody got put on remdesivir, call the morgue. And then she said, we all knew that they went on a ventilator. Call the morgue.
Boom.
Huh? Is that something? Is that something? Kevin.
I've been doing a little bit of my own research. And of course,
dangerous. That's dangerous, Kevin.
I know that. And of course, you know, Coach, with your help, you've made me a dangerous man.
Good.
I'm meek. Now, listen, I'm meek and I'm quiet, but I can be a very dangerous man. But anyway, I'm holding this up in front of the screen, and it's a parasite cleanse. And there's 60 pills in here. You do 3 pills a day for 10 days. You take 10 days off and you do 3 pills a day for 10 days. And this will eliminate virtually every parasite in our system. Now, you know, a lot of people don't realize that just like any other animal, we're an animal and we can get parasites. We can get parasites from food, from water, from just being in the air, being on the ground. They may have been dropping parasites on us from the sky.
In the food.
And those little things that are up there that look so pretty, look like clouds and stuff like that. So, and if you put a lot of things under a microscope, it'd make you sick.
Amen. By the way, I just got this. Dale, I want you to come in. I know you got a testimony here. This came from Dale. I don't know if you can see it. Doesn't matter. I'm going to read it to you. Religion prepares people to leave the earth. The kingdom equips people to rule the earth. Dang. Come on in, Dale. I know you got a
I think there's a lot of truth to that, but I also would add that that religion falsifies thinking you're going to leave Earth and you're not. And kingdom teaching prepares you to rule Earth from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So, Coach, you know, I shared with you that we're going to D.C. It's not that we just want to go to D.C. I believe that we're going on a divine mission and a purpose. Uh-huh. Not only is our hotel literally one block from the house where we'll actually be able to walk there, but we have filed to get tickets to actually be up in that podium, right? Where they give select tickets to your senators and your representatives, mine Steve Scalise. So you're in a lottery to try to win that. And I'm like, Lord, if you can open up a door. Coach, I got a phone call yesterday from Bill Cassidy. and it was a town hall call. In other words, it wasn't a taped recording. It was an actual conversation with Bill Cassidy. And I asked him, I would like to meet with you, but he's one of my senators. I got John Kennedy and Bill Cassidy.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I also have filed with him personally to get tickets to actually be in that realm of that higher up podium. And coach, I'm bringing a sign that'll say free the Tennessee 10. Coach, let me tell you what, I believe this is the will of the Lord, because I know that Donald Trump is going to free them J6ers, because it personally affected him. But he promised to do the Tennessee 10, right? And so I believe we're going to have a great opportunity. And you guess what? Our hotel is on the same block as the Bible Museum. Is this awesome or what? I had the opportunity to go there, and this is homeschooling for my children. We had just finished teaching on the inauguration of a president, and we weren't sure, you know, this is our planning. It was planning and planning. It wasn't the whim of a moment. So we will be up there Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Awesome, man. Stake it. Craig Mickle, come on in. Good for you, Dale.
I was just going to read a little scripture here.
Hey, Craig, hang on. Hey, Craig, hang on a second. This show is unbelievable, isn't it? Come on in, Craig.
I was going to read a little bit because I think it ties into what you're saying, but I think it's tucked into this scripture here. This is from Luke 13, and we always hear about the fig tree, but listen to this. This is Jesus talking. There they were present at that season, and some told him about the Galileans, right? See, a Galilee, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Blood of the Galileans. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Amen.
Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will then likewise. Then Jesus goes into this parable. He also spoke a parable. A certain man, he doesn't identify, had a fig tree. He planted it in his vineyard. He came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to them, sir, let alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not after that, you can cut it down. Coach, the first COVID vaccine in the United States, December 14th, 2020, 4 years ago. The first vaccine in Israel, December 19th, 2020, 4 years ago. The Pool of Siloam, which I put in the chat, restored January 3rd, 2023, after 2,000 years.
Folks, we're living in like unbelievable times. And our command is to occupy till he comes. Not evacuate, not hide, not go into your prayer closet, although being in your prayer closet is certainly a valuable thing to do. But we are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're supposed to cry from the rooftops, Jesus Christ is Lord. Pretty simple, man. What a time to be alive.
Wow.
See you tomorrow.